Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Let's stand together, friends, and let's sing.
Listen, this is our church life.
Light of eternity, Ancient of days, glorious in holiness, worthy of praise. Wonderful Counselor, we will adore. You have created us, God evermore. Rejoice and proclaim, you are the Holy One, great is your name. Kings, raise your name. We
continue in worship this morning. We're going to sing this great hymn of praise. Wherever He leads, I'll go. He leads us through stormy waters. He leads us through trials, through difficult times. So as we sing this song, you just lift up your voice to the Father this morning as we sing, wherever He leads, I'll go. Sing this out. Take up thy cross and follow me. Sing that out.
Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my Master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today.
Just sing this out.
He is my man.
sing that again. Precious Lord, take my hand.
Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
Through the storm
and through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
The truth is, when we sing that, those words, and we're going to sing it again, Elijah, if you'll stick it back up, those words can sure ring true in your heart. We can sing, the battle belongs to Lord, and it's powerful. We can sing, wherever he leads, I'll go, and God evermore, it's powerful. But when you read those words, I am tired, I am weak, and I am worn. So many of us in life are in that state. Life is busy. Life is complicated. Maybe things aren't going exactly as you thought they would with family, with friends, with work, whatever the case may be. Well, there's a reason a song like this has stood the test of time for years. It's because the truth of that prayer and the power of that prayer and the emotion of that prayer. And that's what this is. Make no doubt about it. We started with prayer. We prayed again. So we're going to pray this song. So I want to invite you to take just a moment right now and just close your eyes. In just a moment, you can look at the words again, but just close your eyes and just talk to the Lord. Tell him if you're tired. Tell him if you're weary. Tell him if you're worn. Tell him if you've been waiting on something and you're struggling for the answer. Tell him if you know he's with you and working, but you're in the middle of a hard situation and it's tough. Just take a moment and bring reality and truth, a David-like moment with the Lord. And realize there are others around us who are worn, who need the hope of Jesus. So pray this prayer for them as well. And Father, I pray and I ask that you would help each of us. We've got things going on in our lives that maybe no one else knows. We may be sitting on a row with some people that have no clue about what we're dealing with in our home, at the workplace, with our health, some impending news. Who knows what the case may be? But Lord, we can trust that you are the one who takes our hand, and through the storm, through the night, you can lead us. You can be our provider, as we're going to see in just a little while. So God, let this be our prayer. We cry out to you one more time. Now listen, don't sing it soft. Sing it as a prayer. Sing it loud.
Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn.
Come on, lift it up.
Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on.
Through the storm.
Buddy Ventrice is coming to sing a song for us. Buddy's body has been fighting him for a few years now, dealing with MS diagnosis and some difficult days, and it's not been easy. But the reality is, I've seen Buddy in his faith stand so strong in the midst of all that. It doesn't mean it was always perfect and hard and the tough days, but to see what God has done in your life and the fact that you still want to use your gifts for him. So Buddy's going to use one of his gifts right now to talk about the Redeemer and what he's done. So sing for us, Buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Well, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. All of creation testifies. This life within me cries, I know my Redeemer lives. That very same God that spins things in orbit runs to the weary, the worn and the weak. And the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken, they conquer death to bring me victory. Now I know my Redeemer. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer. He lives to take away my shame. And he lives forever, I'll proclaim. That the payment for my sin was the precious life he gave. But now he's alive and there's an empty grave. And I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify that this life within me cries. I know my Redeemer.
Thank you, buddy, very much for sharing that song, Our Redeemer Lives. If you have your Bible,
Daniel chapter 6. We continue in our Bedtime Bible Stories Revisited series, and we're going through one of the stories that's probably one of the most well-known stories that we teach to children. It's Daniel and the Lion's Den. While you're finding the passage in Daniel chapter 6, let me set the stage for you. You might not know all of the history behind it. The Babylonians have moved in and conquered Jerusalem. They've been conquering the known world, and as they make their way to Israel, to Jerusalem, in 605 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar sieges Jerusalem. And in doing so, he takes some of the sons of the noblemen, older teenage and young adult sons of noblemen, back to Babylon to train them to serve in his court. This was a normal practice everywhere he went. From Jerusalem, he took at least four men. He took Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And so they're captives. They go back to Babylon. The first thing that happens when you get to Babylon is you're given a new Babylonian name. They want to have you keep some of your Israeli identity, but they want to take away some of it. So Daniel, his name is changed to Belteshazzar, and the three others become Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we'll talk about them next week, so we'll get to them. But these four men had a strong devotion to God, and they refused to defile themselves in any way. They would not defile themselves by what they ate, what they drank, how they lived, how they prayed. They honored God with their lives, and God blessed them for it. Now, if you think back to week 3 of this series, you'll remember that we looked at the life of Joseph. And when we talked about Joseph, you may remember that he had several ups and downs in life. Well, if you've never thought about it, Daniel and Joseph lived parallel lives in many, many ways. Think about it. Both of them were taken captive at a young age. Both of them were given the ability to interpret dreams. Both of them ended up in their captors' high courts and in charge of lots of people. And both of them were used by God to show his power. Over and over in the scriptures, you will find that God speaks in an echo. He will say something and he will say it again. He will say something and he will say it again. Why? He is proving a point, constantly moving to his omniscience, his omnipresence, his authority, his grace, his mercy. And he does that in the life of Daniel as well. So Daniel interprets two dreams for King Nebuchadnezzar, and then Nebuchadnezzar dies. Then Daniel interprets the handwriting on the wall from King Belshazzar, and then he dies literally that very night. If you've ever heard someone say, well, the handwriting's on the wall, and you've wondered where that came from, it came from Daniel chapter 5. We don't have time to read it now, but go back and read it on your own later. You'll see where this word picture came from. And so then, in the middle of this, the Medes and the Persians come along, and they conquer Babylon. Someone's always conquering somebody else. So they show up, and in doing so, King Darius realizes that this man Daniel is special. So he keeps him and elevates him in status among his kingdom as well. And that's where this story picks up. So Daniel has now served under what is really three different kings. And we come to this place and look at what it says in Daniel chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. It says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom." That would be men who would lead and rule over certain areas. "And over them, three high officials, of whom Daniel was one." So Daniel was one of four top officials in all the kingdom. And it says these satraps would give an account so that the king might suffer no loss. Now, verse 3, "Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was with him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him." Verse 5. "Then these men said, 'We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in the connection of the law of his God.'" So verse 6, they make a plan. These high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king, and they said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors, are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god, little g, any foreign god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. So they offer flattery to King Darius and say, listen, no one should be making a request to a god. You're the only god they should make requests to. So sign and say you can't do that for 30 days. And so their flattery led to his pride, and his pride led him to sign the document, and it was a mistake, and he knew it was a mistake. So verse 10, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Now, let me say this. First of all, if you live with integrity, integrity will always be found out. Listen, we talk about people who don't have integrity, how that gets found out. Let me tell you, if you'll live your life with integrity, people will find out. And that's exactly what happened here, and so they did. So these men came by agreement. They found in verse 12, then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, this thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. Verse 14, then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. Don't miss this. Because of Daniel's integrity and the way he lived, this pagan king thought so much of him, it hurt him to know he was going to have to harm him, and he decided to try to deliver him. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king established can be changed. Verse 16. So the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. Then the king declared to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continuously, deliver you. Have you thought about that? A pagan king has hope and is praying and hopeful that the God of Israel will deliver Daniel. What an incredible testimony Daniel has lived out in front of him. So it says in verse 17, and a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. So the king says, I'm not going to eat. Maybe in his own way, he's going to pray to God. He's not going to eat, and he's going to wait to see if Daniel's God delivers him. And so then look and see what happens in verse 19. Then at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. Have you ever thought about the fact that this is amazing? This pagan king believed so much in the integrity of Daniel and who he was, that he hoped and believed that Daniel's God would have saved him when no one else had ever been saved in this den of lions. Flash forward to the day when Jesus is buried, and then 3 days later, they go to the grave. They don't go to the tomb with hope, thinking that he's going to be alive. They go to embalm this body. They go in mourning. But here's a man thousands of years earlier, or 650 years earlier to be exact, or 680 or so years earlier, who is a pagan but has enough faith in the God of Israel because of what he saw in the life of Daniel, that he goes with hope that Daniel is alive. Don't miss that. That is powerful. And so we look and see what happens next. He says this, the king declared, as he came near, verse 20, to the den of lions where Daniel was, he cried out in the tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions? Listen, If you know someone's just been devoured by lions, do you go talking to them? No. He was hoping he was alive. He was hopeful that the God of Israel was who he really was. And so then, verse 21, the sweetest sound this king ever heard. Then Daniel said to King Darius, O king, live forever. My God has sent an angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den, so that Daniel was taken up. And then it says this, no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted in his God. Verse 24, and the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions. They, this is the hard part to swallow, but they, their children, and their wives, and before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Now, this pagan king had his way of seeking revenge. Verse 25, then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwelled on the earth. He sent dispatches to everyone in the known world that said this, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. And then listen to what this pagan man says. He says, for he, God, is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. His dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions, so this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. What an incredible story. There are four things we learn quickly from this story, and it ties into the music we've already sung. The battle belongs to God, we started with. Wherever he leads, I'll go. You'll be faithful to pray. Buddy's song that he sang just a moment ago, I know that my Redeemer, the one who takes care of me, lives. All of that found in this story. So here's the four life lessons if you're writing things down. Integrity defines his man, God's man. Prayer makes his man. Warfare surrounds his man, and God empowers and protects his man. Let's start with integrity defines his man. Look again at verse 4. It says, the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. Don't miss this. Daniel was faithful. No fault was found in him. His integrity made him and defined who he was. Listen to this, friends. Your choices and my choices define our character. Your habits and my habits define our character. The lines you won't cross and the lines I won't cross define our character. I love what Henry McKay wrote. He said this, if you have integrity, nothing else matters. If you don't have integrity, nothing else matters. Let me say that again. That's worth hearing again. If you have integrity, nothing else matters. If you don't have integrity, nothing else matters. So what are some practical ways that you and I can have integrity when it comes to our faith? Integrity is simply this. It's a continual decision to do the next right thing in front of you for God's glory. We've been using that phrase over and over throughout this series. Take the next right step. Make the next right decision in front of you. Integrity is a continual decision to take the next right step in front of you. Colossians 3:17, Paul says this, and whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, take the next right step. That's integrity. But integrity is also a choice to keep our word. It's to tell the truth. We live in a day and age where it's hard to find people who will keep their word. In James chapter 5, verse 12, it says, but above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by oath, excuse me, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Listen, if you want to be a person of integrity, just do what you say you'll do. Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to have a moment of forgetting or something come up where you can't, but on a regular basis, do what we say we will do, and we will be people of integrity. And then also integrity, this is important, is a choice to love those around us with words and with deeds. I've found it's easy to love people with words. That's easy. But we're supposed to love people with deeds. Listen to 1 John 3:17. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us love in word, not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. We cannot just love people by saying, I love them. We can say we love Albertville, we've got to live it. We can say we love the world, we've got to live it. You can say you love your spouse, you got to live it. You can say you love your friends, we have to live it. So not only does integrity define God's man, second, prayer makes his man, or the lack of prayer will make his man. Now, I want to challenge you to do something. Think about your whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. If I were to ask you who's the greatest prayer in all the Bible, without a doubt, we're going to say Jesus. Jesus modeled prayer for us. He lived a life of prayer. He prayed early. He prayed late. He prayed before big decisions. He prayed all the time. He said, literally, pray like this, and he taught us how to pray. Over and over and over, Jesus prayed. But if I were to ask you, besides Jesus, who's the second person in the scripture that would be marked the most by prayer? You might say Paul. You might say David because he wrote so many of the Psalms that were like a prayer. But I would encourage you to consider Daniel. If you were to go back and read Daniel chapter 2 through Daniel chapter 12, you will see prayer, 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 prayer over and over and over and over again. Here's what we learn about Daniel. He prayed for wisdom. We should pray for wisdom. He prayed for divine help. We should pray for divine help. He prayed with a routine. We should pray with a routine. He prayed to honor God. We should pray to honor God. He prayed for answers. We should pray and ask for answers. He prayed for confession. We should pray to confess. And he prayed for others, and we should pray for other people. I love what Samuel Chadwick said 100 years ago. He said, Satan dreads nothing but prayer. His one concern is to keep the saints from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toils. He mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. Listen, how sad is it when church services will just book in prayer? One prayer at the beginning, one at the end, and that's it. Our life should be marked by prayer. Robert Murray McChain said this, basically almost 200 years ago. He said, a man is what he is on his knees before God and nothing more. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Listen, what you are on your knees before God and nothing more. I read a little bit more about Robert Murray McChain this week, and I found a journal entry of his from February the 23rd, 1834. If there's ever been two sentences written that I wish I had written, I wish this was my life. I wish this was my heart. Listen to what he says. February 23rd, 1834. He said, I rose early to seek God and found him who my soul loves. Who would not rise early to meet such company? I love that. He says, I rose early to meet with God and I found the one whom my soul loves. Who would not rise early to do that? So integrity defines God's man. Prayer makes God's man. And warfare surrounds his man. We learn from Daniel and all of the bedtime Bible story characters that we've looked at that we are caught up in a great war. There is spiritual warfare taking place around you and around me. You may say, Chris, do you mean there are things we cannot see happening around us? That's exactly what I mean. You are involved in spiritual warfare. And the moment you think you're not is when you're losing the battle. In fact, there is an enemy of your souls that would love nothing more than for you to minimize or ignore his hatred for you. We have made Satan out to be a cartoon in a lot of ways, like a red devil with a pitchfork, when the reality is something that looks like a cartoon does not look dangerous, but you have an enemy. And he desires that you would not live for the Lord, that you would live for yourself. yourself. He desires that you would walk in anxiety and anger and fear and any kind of number of things. He desires that you would be beat down and put down and not share him with others. You are in a battle. And there's one incredible way that we can see this from the life of Daniel that I want to show you. If you're in Daniel chapter 6, flip forward 4 chapters to Daniel chapter 10. In Daniel chapter 10, we find this incredible scene of spiritual warfare. Let me set the scene for you. Daniel has moved from being in the lion's den. He's moved from some other things that have gone on, and now he is praying, and God gives him a vision. And Daniel's vision is of what's to come soon for the Persians and the Medes and Israel, and what's to come much later for Israel and for all mankind. In fact, the vision that Daniel gets, most of it's not even happened yet, still to this day. You may not realize this, but it's important for you to know, if you want to understand the book of Revelation, you must include the last few chapters of Daniel, because the last few chapters of Daniel are a key to understanding what we read in Revelation. That book from the Old Testament and that last book from the New Testament are meant to be linked together in understanding. And so in this vision that Daniel is having, he's praying, and look at what happens, this spiritual warfare. It's amazing to me. It says this in Daniel 10, beginning in verse 10. So he's praying, he's seeing a vision from God, and it says, "And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, 'O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you.'" So an angel comes and taps Daniel on the shoulder during his prayer and says, "Get up, O man who is greatly loved by God, and understand what I'm about to tell you." Now listen to these words. "And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up," Daniel said, "trembling. Then he said to me, 'Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, the archangel, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the king's multiple of Persia, and came to make you understand what it is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for the days yet to come." What does that mean? The battle for Daniel was real. Daniel says, "I was praying, and in my prayers, I asked God for wisdom and understanding, and God dispatches an angel 21 days earlier to come and to deliver to Daniel." And that angel gets into a spiritual battle, a physical battle, a confrontation with the prince of Persia, a demon. And it mentions multiple ones there. And so this confrontation is happening until Michael, the archangel, comes to settle this. And then the angel is sent, and he grabs him on the shoulder and says, "Stand up, O man who's greatly loved by God." And let me tell you what's happening. I'm literally getting chill bumps thinking about that right now. That is an amazing story. He was in a battle. But don't miss this. So were you. Daniel's in no more of a spiritual battle than you and I are. Look what it says, or just listen to this. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul writes these words, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." What does that say? It says your battle is real also. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against cosmic powers in this present darkness. I've shared this story before, but a lot of us are new, so let me share it again. That phrase, "this present darkness," Frank Peretti, a Christian author, took that phrase and this idea of spiritual warfare, and he wrote two works of fiction that were designed to remind us that we are in spiritual warfare. They weren't designed to be the Bible. They're designed to show us that we live a life of spiritual warfare. And one of those books, the first one was called Piercing the Darkness, and then This Present Darkness. And so in this book, it's amazing. It was written back in the 80s. And so Lily and I in the 90s were, I don't remember if we were married yet or just dating, but it was right right around the time we got married or early on. So we've been married 26 years. It was a long time ago. We were in the car headed to her family reunion in Centerville, Alabama. If you've never been to Centerville, you're not going to go there. It's out in the middle of nowhere, I'm telling you. And so we were on our way there. And to date this for you, we were listening to a book on tape. It was not a CD. It was not on your iPhone. It was not on iBook. It was on tape. It was a cassette tape, multiple tapes you had to take and put in. And so we had a book on tape, and it was This Present Darkness. And so we're listening to This Present Darkness. And as we're driving down this country road out in the middle of nowhere, in the book, it's a scene that's happening where there is a family in a car, and they're headed around a curve, and it's a steep ravine. And around the other side, there are some demons that are seeking to cause the car to wreck and go off the ravine. And so an angel intercedes and punctures their tire, and their tire goes flat, saving them from death around the corner. It's just a picture of spiritual warfare happening around us. So Lily and I are listening to Frank Peretti as he reads this book himself as the author, and it gets to the part on this tape where we're driving down the road, and it says that the angel to save them punctures the tire. Next thing we know, our tire goes flat. That was awesome. It was scary. It was funny. It was amazing. It was the Lord laughing, I'm pretty certain, and saying, I'm going to prove a point to you about spiritual warfare, but it's going to be fun. And so we have a flat tire. And God gets my attention just at that moment. You may say, well, how big a deal was that? It was 26 years ago. I remember it like it was yesterday. Because that feeling, that reality that there is, it was as if God was saying to me, don't think for a moment that just because this story is fiction doesn't mean that I am not working for you and in you and on your behalf all around you at all times. It was an incredible reminder of that. So friends, Daniel was in a battle, but you are in a battle. You are. And so what do we do with that battle? I love what it says. The angel said, stand up. And listen to what the angel said. He said, Daniel, man greatly loved. He said, Daniel, you are a man greatly loved by God. Well, here's what I would say to every person in this room. You are greatly loved by God. If you miss everything else I say today, walk away with that little phrase. You are a man or woman greatly loved by God. Loved enough that he sent his son to die for you. Loved enough that he let his son come back to life for you. Loved enough that he made new life and provides grace for you. Loved enough that he's doing that work in your life. And loved enough that he doesn't leave you to your own devices now. So the spiritual warfare, the war you're caught up in, the war I'm caught up in, here's the good news. God empowers and protects his man. That's the fourth and final point. Daniel was safe in that lion's den. He was as safe in the lion's den as he would have been in a cave full of little kittens. He was safe. Why? Because God's power was at work in him. God was Daniel's protector in the battle. He is your protector in the battle. God was Daniel's source of power for daily living. He is your source of power for daily living. God was Daniel's victory in his struggles. God is your victory in your struggles. God was the healer of his pain. God is the healer of your pain. God is the deliverer, as we sang about God being my redeemer, as Buddy sang. God is your redeemer and your deliverer in your daily life. He is your peacemaker in the midst of your storm. He is your comforter in your trouble, and that does not go away. But don't miss something. A lot of us think, if that's really true, and I am a man and woman greatly loved, then why is it such a mess around me? Why am I having to deal with all that? Don't miss this. Daniel was safe, but he wasn't clean. It was a mess. We don't tell this part to kids. We don't think about it. But let your mind wander for just a moment about what a lion's den was really like. They had literally raised lions in a pit that there was only one way out, a small hole big enough for people to be thrown into. And those lions were never let out. And so they were nourished and fed through people being fed to them who were in trouble with the Babylonian kingdom and with the Persian kingdom. And so in the middle of all that, I want you to realize that when Daniel went down into the lion's den, even though God protected him and the king expected God to protect him, and even though he did, it wasn't like he sat around there. If you've seen the coloring book sheet of Daniel sitting there like this and the lion is smiling at him, that's not what it was like. Listen, first of all, there would have been animal manure everywhere. It stunk. Second of all, that would not have been the worst smell. It's the smell of death. You think about what all had happened in that pit time and time again. We won't dwell there long. I won't try to paint a picture, but you can come up with your own conclusion. And so here he is in the middle of all that, and he has to sit there the entire night, knowing that God has delivered him, but he's still got to sit there in that mess. Now, friends, let me say to you, this is important. God is at work in your life, but you may have to sit in the mess. God is at work in your life, but that doesn't mean all the problems around you are going to go away, but it does mean he will empower you and help you through it. If you're waiting for him to wipe everything clean and go back to kindergarten coloring book type page world, friends, that's not what you're going to find. In fact, some of the greatest ways we will know King Jesus is to know him in our storm, to know him in our pit, to know him in our mess, and to see his power at work in us. If I look around this room, it doesn't take me long to look at faces, and I'm not, when I say this, I won't look at any, but I've seen some in the room already. Some of you that I know, you went through a serious mess or a pit or a difficulty, and I have seen God restore and do a work in your life. I've watched you walk through it. Some of you are still walking through it. Listen, that is the picture of grace. The picture of grace is not that everything's perfect all the time. It's that the perfect God has done the perfect work in you in the middle of your mess. That's what grace does. And so God fights the battle for us, and we fight on our knees with our hands lifted high, praising him for what he's done. You lift your hands up. How are you fighting a battle? You've never fought anybody like that. You get ready to start a fight. You leave here today. You go down to your favorite restaurant. Someone gets up in your face and says, listen, I'm going to say something disrespectful about your spouse. And so, guys, you get up to fight. Here's what you're not going to do. You're not going to say, come on, let's go. That's not what you're going to do. I hope you don't do that. Put your hands up. Like that would be very strange. You might scare them off that way. You could do the monkey. I don't know what you do, but you don't put your hands up to fight. What do you do? You put your hands down. You don't put your hands up. So here's what I would say. The reason we put our hands up, it's surrender. It's a reminder that he's the one that's fought the battle. He's the one that gets the praise and glory. So we sing with our hands lifted high. We praise him. That's why we do it. And understand that prayer is that reminder. Daniel lived the reminder. He couldn't have stopped the lion if he wanted to. God did the work. And so God does the work. Let him do that work in you. So let's wrap up. It's time to go. What about you? Integrity defines God's man. Are you living a life of integrity? Are you doing what you say you'll do? If not, I encourage you to come and pray about it. Are you loving people with your actions or just your words? If not, come and pray about it. Are you taking the next right step in front of you? If not, just come and pray about it. Second, prayer makes his man. Oh, that my prayer life would be like Daniel's. And I wish my prayer life would be like Samuel Chadwick's. And I wish my prayer life would be like Robert Murray McChain's. But I got to be honest, I struggle like a lot of you might as well at times. But oh, that I could wake up every day and know that I have met with the one whom my soul loves and the one who says I am greatly loved by him. So how do you get started with that? Just come get on your knees and pray. Ask God to help you. Maybe for you, though, it's to realize that warfare surrounds God's man or woman, and you realize you've been in spiritual battle, but you've not been walking as someone in that. Well, let me say this to you. We have something different than Daniel does. God brought a victory from Daniel, but because of the cross, because of the empty tomb, we fight differently than Daniel fought. The Lord still did the work, but we even have a different understanding, a new layer of spiritual warfare, and this is it. Let me define it in this phrase. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, you are fighting for some victory. I hope you find it, but you need Jesus. He's the only way to get it. But if you're here and you do know Jesus, which is most of us, don't miss this. You are not fighting for victory. You are fighting from a place of victory. You're fighting from the place of victory. It's already been given. That's different. And so we can trust him and his grace and his work in us, and we can trust him to do just that. So if you're in spiritual warfare, or maybe you need to be, you want to do battle for your son, you want to do battle for your daughter, you want to do battle for your spouse, for that friend, for that coworker, for our city, you want to do battle for someone else, come get on your knees and ask God to help you and pray bold prayers and trust that even in the mess, he will walk you through that and you are in a battle. And then lastly, just know that he will empower and protect his own. He will, even in the struggle, he will do it. So maybe pray and ask him to do that for you or in the lives of others. Would you bow with me? It's a lot to learn from Daniel. Come and pray about your integrity. Come and renew your prayer life. Recognize the spiritual warfare around you. You probably won't have a flat tire on the way home today, but if you do, know that God's getting your attention. I'm not saying every time the wind blows that that's some demon or angel. That's not what I mean, but I'm telling you there are forces at work around you, and as a child of God, you are caught up in that. And so we ask God to use us in power and let us be led by His Spirit to live the life He's called us to. And maybe lastly, you realize that you just need God, that very one in the middle of your mess, to be the one to protect you and empower you and comfort you in the middle of that. I don't know what God is saying to you, but as we pray, would you come pray about that? For others of us, maybe God's calling you to unite with our faith family. When I say that, I mean come join our churches. Let me just be clear. And you say, I want to be an official part. I'm committed. I have Jesus in my life, and I'm committed to be an official part. I want to be a part of this army, this battle, making a difference. We want to be an army of people who love our community, who make a difference for our community, who love the people around us and make a difference for the kingdom around the world. If God's calling you, come. Maybe you want to follow through with baptism like Krista. Maybe you too have come to the realization of truly what God has done for you, and so you want to publicly display that as the Bible says to do so. Whatever God is saying, I'll pray with you, would love to. You can pray alone either way. Father God, please have your way in us right now as we sing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing Just As I Am Without One Plea. As we sing, you come right now.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.